Sockless John.
I mean, in winter, no less. This is where I feel really embarrassed. This is tough. I don't mind going sockless abstractly, although I really don't support it. But like, this is weird in a, like a January episode with suede pants.
There is no seasons in the pop.
No, that's true. Ain't no, as Pimp C once said, TV ain't got no temperature.
It's true.
Welcome to Popcast Deluxe, your YouTube ain't got no temperature of weekly cultural review. I am John Caramonica, a critic of the New York Times.
I'm Joe Coscarelli. I'm a reporter at the New York Times.
Boy, are we. Boy, are we. Okay, so last week, we talked about some comebacks. Mm-hmm. Some big people said, early January, that's my time. People have forgotten about me. They're over the tryptophan haze. They're ready to be re-engaged with. But what I think we should and can do on this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about some other famous people who are going to come back, but a lot's going to happen this year.
Yeah.
With lesser known artists. Mm-hmm. And we want to give you what we think is like a little bit of a preview of what might be interesting this year.
Not a prediction.
None of that. Just two people who love music, mostly, sometimes, who have been keeping our eye on things. And so we're going to get into maybe 10, 11, 12 folks that we're excited about. But before we do that, you know, last week we talked about Lil Nas X, we talked about 21 Savage, Ariana Grande, all big stars making re-entries, new eras, as it were, or not, depending who we're talking about. Some more people are upon us.
Sure. Either already here,
yes,
in bits and pieces, or on the schedule, loosely.
Yes, the schedule.
Yeah, like there are some people in skyscrapers not far from here who are like, we could really use a Rihanna album this year.
Keep waiting, people.
That's, I mean, like, is this the year? It wasn't the year when she played the Super Bowl. That was last year. And then she had another baby. Bless her and the family.
Also, you saw the thing recently, the news item where, because everybody was like, oh, it was a whole thing about pregnancy. And that's like, actually, she was like, nobody knew I was pregnant.
Yep.
Rihanna has been interviewed randomly a couple times recently, not proper sit down interviews, not like that, but like red carpet type stuff.
Sure.
And I feel like she's had somewhat conflicting answers in two clips that I saw, like one that suggested that like she was like maybe had landed on an idea, and then one that was kind of like, I'm beginning to think of ideas. I guess I'm of the mindset that both of those things are probably true.
Right. She's working on multiple schedules at once.
Yeah.
She's like, Rihanna's career is like Tenet. time is moving both backwards and forwards.
So there was at one point talk of like the Rihanna reggae album.
Mm-hmm. That was, I haven't heard that name in years.
Yeah, seriously. That's like a 2019, 2020 type energy. You've seen these interviews where she alludes to, what do you make of, what's between the lines here?
I don't think a Rihanna album exists right now, but I'm sure she has recorded many songs.
Yeah.
And especially received many demos.
Oh, yeah.
Over the course of the last however many years since Anti. So I think.
Anti?
Yeah, I remember.
2018?
Something
17?
Like that.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
1917.
Yeah, that's right.
When Anti was released. Yeah. And similar position.
The first number one album on the Billboard album charts.
Similar position is Cardi B.
Yes.
Who has inched back a couple times, like puts good out
guest,
music.
Some guest verses.
Some great guest verses. Had a whole year of guest verses when it was like, oh, the album's coming. And then.
She really is the only person, I think. And I think I mentioned this in like maybe the, it was a 2022, the number one songs of the year. Sure. It was like multiple Cardi B guest verses. She's the only person who genuinely picked up the Drake rope.
Right.
And said, oh, like, I can stay relevant by, like, identifying younger rappers and da-da-da-da and, like, getting on a verse. And
then she just decided not to put on an album.
Can which, we play Shake It?
Yeah, we'll just play a little bit of Shake
Love
It.
Love to play a little bit of Shake It. Hakuna Matata. Yeah. But Cardi B... Cardi's coming. Rihanna's not coming.
I was going to say, if I had to hold my breath for one of the two, it would be Cardi B and not Rihanna or Sky Ferreira.
No.
You know, like no. that type of energy.
Cardi B's coming. I'm going to say summer.
Right.
I feel like Cardi's coming for the summer. I feel
we
like
we weren't going to make predictions, but we're making some.
But here's, but also here's the thing: like there is this also this narrative.
We don't know anything, to be clear.
Yeah, about Cardi B. That's true. We should
some
say
of these albums we will have heard in full, and Cardi B, we got nothing. We're with you.
There is a narrative in Cardi B's personal life right now. She seems to have split from Offset, or is in on and on again, off again, or off again, on again with her husband. This will obviously both create a tremendous amount of opportunity for material, but also an opportunity to change the narrative, regardless of what the narrative actually is.
Yes, whichever way. Is it Lemonade? Is it Before He Cheats?
Yeah, it could go either way. And so I would not be surprised if we start to see genuine Cardi B rollout as the sort of like gossipy through line of Cardi B evolves. I wouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden you start seeing collaborations and TikToks and more IG lives that are not about emotional bloodlettings.
What's funny is that they put out a song together not that long ago on the Offset album.
Yes.
Sort of about this very thing.
Right. And there was like a whole, like, frankly, bungled rollout scheme where he like posted and deleted the thing about her cheating. But then it was like, that's part of the rollout. And it's like, I mean, I first of all, I can never speculate about people's personal lives, but you know, if you choose to bring that into your album marketing,
messy,
yes,
but by design, ish. Sometimes
I'm going to say ish.
Somebody else who loves a chaotic rollout,
okay,
leaving us questioning whether or not it is in fact by design. Playboi Carti,
who we talked about a couple weeks ago with Backrooms, has had
the song with Travis Scott.
Yeah. It's been five Cardi songs now?
I think four, but however you count Cardi leaks and snippets,
that's
true. Like those can be quarter of a song, half of a song, add up to a full song.
Yeah. So, or voices,
sure,
more than songs,
yep,
or flow patterns. Cardi postponed his tour again?
Yeah, so Narcissist.
I don't like going to shows that much anymore. I find it a little draining. It's like you gotta like carve out so much of your night to get there and then wait, and it's, I mean, like, forgive me, I'm middle-aged at this point, you know what I mean? Like, I want something efficient,
right?
Like the Yapo JJ ride. I'm just lying down your blood, speaking nice. You know, yeah, something. I know what's happening right away. Yeah.
You don't even need
the
show. Music.
The show's irrelevant. But the Cardi tour, I was like, I'm ready. I'm so pumped to go see this. Because there is still an air of like, what exactly is going on here and who's showing up?
Right.
I want to see that. It's the only arena tour of last year, which obviously didn't happen, that I was absolutely like, I must see this. Like, I'm clearing the calendar more than SZA, more than Travis, more than any of this other stuff. Like, I was like, I have to see the Playboi Carti tour, which does not exist.
Right. It was then postponed until early this
month,
year,
right? Like there was a late January
New York
Garden date.
Yep.
Yeah. And then
weeks before, once again, push. Now, this tour is named the Narcissist Tour, or was when they sold the tickets for it.
Yeah.
And I think we've gone through two other album titles by then, or one and a half, depending on how you count it. Like then it was going to be called Music. Maybe it was going to be called I Am Music. But then over the holidays, which that's Playboi Carti hour, for those who remember A Lot of Red coming out finally on Christmas Day, then he starts putting out these songs, but he's putting out these songs in strange places.
Yeah, like they are not on Spotify.
They're not on streaming in general.
They're on YouTube.
They're on YouTube, and we talked about it with Backrooms. He's trying some different voices. He's like rapping more, and he's rapping intelligibly more.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that really stuck out to me, to the point where I was like, it was like I like got a Whopper and then I realized, where's the beef?
It's a very big fluffy bun.
Where's the beef?
There are no ad-libs. I'd mix those up. That's actually a Wendy's commercial, not a Burger King commercial. But that's how you know it's not sponsored, because I mixed it up.
Okay.
I'm going to roll.
And as just an absolute sidebar, when was the last time you had Burger King?
I don't like Burger
King. I also don't, but when was the last time you had it?
I've had the Veggie Whopper.
Recently?
On a road trip, maybe like 2 years ago.
I had onion rings like on a work trip, like just like driving on a highway.
Just onion rings.
Yeah, just onion rings, like maybe like 2 years ago or 3 years ago, but I haven't had a Whopper or like any kind of burger in probably more than a decade. I was thinking I need to revisit.
Huh. I don't think so.
I think it'll be bad.
Yeah.
But like when we like maybe like February, March at some point, I'm going to report back.
Okay.
With some Burger King takes.
Okay.
Because I feel like it's like a gap in my knowledge.
Anyway, there's basically no ad libs in these new Playboi Carti songs.
Clear my top, get a reefer. Put him in smoke. He reefer. Put him in a cuff. Put him in a cuff. Put him in a. Put him in a. Put him in a cuff. I jump out the lamp truck. She thought that I lost it. I jump out my red. I push out and I go to Boston.
That's a whopper of an ID.
Not Swan. Which is like, that's innovation, weirdly.
Yeah, I agree.
And there's a lot of that in these songs.
Yeah.
And there's been a couple pieces written. I think Fader had one. Jeff Haza had one at Rolling Stone about Playboi Carti both doing things a little bit normal.
Yeah.
And you mentioned putting Travis Scott on a song is sort of saying like, I'm ready to be mainstream. Yeah. Like I want to hit like Playboi Carti, one of the biggest rappers of the moment.
Yeah.
But not
no hits.
A pop star.
And no genuine hits.
No like radio stream, right. You know, no Billboard hits.
Yes.
Like that. And yet, this seems to be motioning towards that without actually following through. Because it's like, all right, fine. I'm going to do a rollout where I put out multiple singles before the album, but I'm not going to put them on streaming so they don't debut on the chart, even though Travis Scott is on them. But I like that because
I like it too. And I feel like maybe it means that when all these songs are aggregated and put into one package and put onto the streaming services, the numbers are going to go immediately crazy.
I think this album will be big whenever it comes out.
Yeah,
though I also do sense, I observe some Playboi Carti fan circles online. And he's a controversial guy. He's been accused of abuse.
Yeah.
He's cancels a lot of tour dates. Like a lot of people spend a lot of money thinking like, I'm going to go see my hero.
Mm-hmm.
And then he lets them down. And so there's a lot of animosity also building
in those circles. Oh, interesting.
In those circles, but it reminds me of a Frank Ocean or a Doja Cat in the sense of it's part of the package. So ultimately, I think no matter what, when he puts something out, those people are going to show up. Should we just play a little bit of 2024 before we move on?
Oh, yeah.
She's nice. I told her she my girl. Oh, you like that?
Oh, you like that? Oh, you like that? Oh, you like that?
Yeah.
Oh, you like that? Oh, you like that? Oh, you like that?
A rapper who I think is going to put a record out this year, maybe, Central C.
Okay.
So Central C, how does Central C not have like three albums out already? I know he has mixtapes, but Central C I feel like is like just a fact of life. Obviously, the release with Dave's collaborative album. But like, no, like we're at this phase of artistry where people will be like 5 years into their career, big famous stars selling
like
out arenas.
Six songs.
Yeah. And then they'll be like, this is my debut album. And it's like, what are we doing here? Now, does that, like as an abstract idea, does that say to you that people still revere the album? This is like one of my like bailiwick things where I'm just like, the album. But are people still like revering the album in the sense that they are waiting to have something to say and it's got to be a big deal?
I think the man wants Central C on the Jack Harlow path. And there was a moment when
the Dozier record,
really big Jack Harlow album came out.
Oh, yeah.
I think like we are leading to that. And I think even if it's not the best Central C, even if he's already huge around the world, let alone in America. Mm-hmm. I do think there's going to be a critical mass when the album comes. You think I'm wrong?
No, I absolutely think you're right. I just think it's vexing because he's done such a good job of aggregating so much attention off of these one-off moments. He's had like maybe four legitimate, isolated, huge peaks. Tours, seems to be doing great for himself, like a legitimate celebrity, but has not in any way made concessions. We talked a little bit about this with 21 Savage last week, but it's like Central C remains Central C.
Yep.
He's not doing anything different.
No.
And it's just growing and growing and growing and growing. Is there never a Central C album?
That'd be cool. I mean, that's sort of the Cardi B thing where she's just never putting out a second album.
I think it's unlikely. I think he will be either wished to or be made to do it. But there is a version where it's just like twice a year, I just make one of the 30 best songs you've ever heard in your life. And then I tour.
Right. You know who's definitely putting out an album this year? Waxahachie.
Okay.
There's this thing about rap. Well, there's this thing about rap music versus indie rock where indie rock albums, in part for business reasons, because they have to print vinyl, are made.
When Taylor is not eating up all the vinyl pressing.
Right. Or Jennifer Lopez.
Over Jennifer Lopez.
They finish their albums. They turn them in.
Yeah, this Waxahachie album's probably been done for like 12 months at this point.
They sit around and they wait until the release. They put out some singles. They announce a tour. Like it all happens. Uh-huh. Like
just like in the 90s.
Yeah, like on a real schedule.
Yeah.
Katie Crutchfield.
It's the only reliable, like in our worlds. The only reliable thing is that these rollouts have remained exactly as they've been for 30 years.
Although Waxahachie, Tiger's Blood, definitely coming out March 22nd on Anti Records. This is the return of solo Katie Crutchfield. Katie's been a songwriter I know you have followed for more than a decade.
Yep.
Now, her last solo album was St. Cloud in 2020. Which I think we divide on a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're very high on this record. Like I'm of the mindset that like the earliest Waxahachie stuff to me remains the best, the most spare.
You're an American Weekend guy?
Yeah, like the first wave. To me, that's the best stuff. It's the best songwriting. It's the most spare. It's the least beholden to the idea of genre or the idea of like, where might this have a home?
Right.
Katie Crutchfield is someone who comes from like a DIY, like punk and punk adjacent background and then started making these kind of like spare singer songwriter
songs.
Shout
out to Swearin.
Shout out to Swearin. Like my early piece on Katie and Allison, like, you know, that's that was a legitimate movement. And I think set the table for a lot that followed in its wake. When we did the Girl Punk package a few years after that, everybody talks about Katie and Allison as kind of like spiritual figureheads for what they were doing.
We called Boy Genius. We invented Boy. No, we called the Boy Genius.
Say it.
We called Boy.
All three cameras.
For people who have not been listening to podcasts for 5+ years.
Which I know there are some of you who haven't.
We did a really fun, I think, online zine, basically.
Yeah.
Digital zine of declaring, and this was a thing at the time, there was not that much rock music.
No.
Rock is back. Shout out to Karen Gans.
Regrettably. Shout out to Karen, but regrettably.
But we said, rock's not dead, it's just ruled by women, and it was all of these young punks and who had created bands post Katie and Allison Crutchfield and a few other people. And a lot of the people, even though we're going to talk about on this episode, sort of came up out of that or even were included in that. It was early Snail Mail, Soccer Mommy, Vagabond, photo up there from that shoot.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah.
But it's been cool to see how all these careers have developed.
This is 2017. Rock's not dead. It's ruled by women. The roundtable conversation.
Yeah. And
what a great, also this day.
That was a great day.
This is such a good, it's one of the most fun days.
We had a bunch of these people in the same room. We
had a studio in Greenpoint, I think, a photo studio. And then did you and Karen conduct the interview? I'm trying to remember who did.
Yeah.
And then I did like a sidebar.
We did a bunch of sidebars.
I did like a Katie and Allison sidebar and this.
Bunch of video footage.
This was really fun.
Really fun. Anyway, Waxahachie, the Crutchfields, they're sort of the godparents of a lot of this stuff. That album, like I said, out March 22nd. The single came out. It's called Right Back to It with MJ Lenderman. And yeah, she's still leaning into her Lucinda.
Genre.
Yeah, her Lucinda. Like the St. Cloud, really back to, I think, music she said she grew up on.
Yes.
You know, country, Americana, a word I know you don't like.
Yeah.
Means something to some people. And this album carries on in that tradition, but with some lyricism and songwriting and vocal performance that only she can do. And I'm really excited.
And I warmed to this. The first time I heard it, I was a little bit cold to it. And I think over a few listens, I've warmed to it a little bit. I think in a weird way, hearing it without the video. Like, I'm watching the video, I'm just like, oh, we're just like, we're trying to create an affect here.
Build a world.
Yeah. And, but hearing without the video, I think I was able to like take it on its own terms. So warming up to it. Still not where you are on St. Cloud, but generally speaking, warming up to this.
Been yours for so long.
Maybe my version of Waxahachie is Clara.
Okay.
And I don't even know, I don't even know if I have anything strictly speaking to say about Clara. I have been very in and out on Clara. Really loved the earliest, like, YouTube, like, the very 1.0 stuff.
Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the one.
Yeah. That's, I mean, where were you when Flamin' Hot Cheetos dropped? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At certain points, I think Clara was like, I'm going to make real pop songs. And I didn't love a lot of that stuff. It felt like moving into a house that has like 9 bedrooms. And you're just like, well, I don't know.
And then there were 2 more swerves.
Yes.
Immunity, the first album, was a bit more indie rock. Mm-hmm. Bags, and some great songs on there. Mm-hmm. That album, I like a lot.
I think that's a good album.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the Jack Antonoff album that came after.
Which?
More difficult. Some people really love it. Some people, it landed with them. I have not actually spent that much time with it. It's a little Steely Dan for my tastes in the instrumentation.
Yeah, I can see that. I fundamentally believe that Clara is ready to have the moment. This is like, I'm just going off vibes here. I have no intel.
She posted on Instagram. She wrote like maybe this year with a music
note. I saw that. I think maybe that's why it's in my head.
Yeah.
But I'm going like purely off vibes. I think at a certain point, this is a problem of the music media ecosystem of shining so much light on a person who's like not quite ready. But there's so much small bore coverage of things that it can be, I think, a little bit disorienting for someone who has one or two ideas, but hasn't figured out how they want to become a fully grown artist. I think Clara has been, maybe after ping-ponging through a bunch of different ideas, has finally arrived spiritually as, I don't know what, but I think it does feel pendulum swinging. It's like, we went here, then we're here, and then we're here, and then we're here, and maybe, just maybe, this is the year, or this is the era that feels fully settled. That's my hope. I'm high on Clara.
And she was always very smart about this. I did write about her very early on before the first album came out. And she was open about the fact that she was still figuring it out and how young she was and being pulled in these different directions by the music industry. And I think you're right that she is going to land somewhere cool. But we don't have a new Clara song to play just yet, unfortunately.
Just to get, like, again, no predictions, but predicting. Big year. Big Clara year coming. Watch out.
I got a teenager.
Yeah. So, okay. So I feel like everybody we've talked about up until this point, you're familiar with.
Sure. Popcast core.
Yeah. You know what we're talking about. You understand. You probably follow those people's careers independent of us, which is strange why you would do that. But you probably follow their careers. But Joe and I have also been gathering a list of folks that are maybe a little bit below that radar who we're curious about. And I think this is the pivot to where we're going to talk about those folks.
Yeah, these are some people who I think are gearing up for debuting at a larger scale.
Yes, correct.
And the first one that I have is an Atlanta rapper.
No.
A new Atlanta. We've talked about this on previous episodes. There's a little bit of a power vacuum. Baby, 21 Savage, Young Thug.
Future.
That's over.
Mm-hmm. Regrettably.
What a time.
Unbelievable. We lived it.
Yeah. And who knows what's going to come next. But the greatest thing about Atlanta is that it's always regenerating. There have been underground Atlanta people the last 2, 3, 4 years who have.
I mean, even Cardi is an
even Playboy
like
Cardi,
a former underground Atlanta artist.
Is now like a veteran, basically. Uh-huh. And the people coming up in their wake, the one that I have my eye on most closely goes by the name T S Dirtball.
Yeah.
Which you might not know if you saw it spelled on the internet.
Yes.
Should I run it? Should I run it down?
Yeah, go for
it. It is 2DXRT3ALL.
Yes. As correct.
That's a three as a B.
Yes.
A X instead of an I.
Yes.
Etc. I think Dirtball is about 18 years old. Great ear for beats. Some really introspective street rap, but funny.
Real talky.
Talky.
Yeah.
A little cloudy in the instrumentation, by which I mean like cloud rap.
Yeah.
Like there's some plug in there. There's some, you know, it's just, it's new. It feels legitimately like a new mini wave for the city.
Mm-hmm.
He put out 3 or 4 mixtapes last year.
Mm-hmm.
One, some most of them I can't say on this podcast, but there is one called F School, which is just pretty straightforward.
Also very Waka Flocka core. Waka Flocka coded.
Yes. But he's signed to Columbia Records.
Oh, I didn't know that. Look at that.
And Dirtball put out this song called Bible. It's a really interesting way to reveal yourself as a major label rapper, because it's not really like hit.
Right.
It's not upbeat.
Mm-hmm.
It's dark, slow, introspective. It's a ballad almost for what this artist is. And I'm just interested to see what comes next now that there's more eyes and more resources. So this is Bible by Dirtball.
Just start reading the Bible and then I pray. I just want to be lonely. Everybody get away. Every time I come around, I make the day. Every time I'm on that block, I make a play. Every time I seen a op, I got away. Every time I seen a op, I got away. I got a spray.
Speaking of scenes, we've talked about post-rage or post-post-rage. We talked about the Nets Band, Jadis, Xavier So Bass, like that whole scene. I was joking about the Yapo riots.
Noisy underground rap.
Just chaos. A lot of chaos.
SoundCloud 11.0.
Yeah. There's a new song. It's called 40. It's with Xavier So Bass and Nets Band with Evil Gianni. It's 1 minute and 2 seconds long.
So it's their Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah.
It's like, it's quite,
it's like a Rush album, comparatively. What, at a certain point, there's no adjectives. It's just legitimately very good. It encapsulates what makes these folks interesting. It's quick. It's there. It's evanescent. It goes away. I think we should listen to it. This is 40.
My cup full of tech. I ain't discreet when I walk in a building. Bitch, I got my tech. I told Vivid, run at 70-30, go straight to the head. I told Vivid, run at 70-30, go straight to the head. Said it's slime, bitch, we NBA, post it with my head.
And side by side with that, I did want to point to some recent Matt Ox material. Matt Ox, maybe Matt Ox is the godfather of this post-post-post rage. There was a interview with Matt Ox recently, and he was asked who he likes in the underground, and he said Netspend is, quote, my twin.
Shout out my little bro, Netspend. That's my twin.
So, have you seen...
He meant my twin like I had twins. And one of them was Netspend. My actual child.
Did you listen to the Maddox album that came out a few months ago?
No, I just saw the freestyle.
On the Radar freestyle. Yeah, so that's what I want to play, is the On the Radar freestyle. But there, it sent me back to that album, which I had not listened to. There's a lot of really good stuff on that record. The song is called Dolo. That's the best thing on that record. But none of it is as interesting, quasi-feral. Just frankly bonkers as the On the Radar freestyle. On the Radar freestyle, we know the franchise. It's people rapping in front of a green wall. I'm going to get out of the way and let them do their thing. It's like, we understand. But artists sometimes use it to like show off a new style or like pivot a little bit. Yeah. It's like a little bit of a rote thing, but there's an opportunity to do something novel with it because it's so rote in its own way. Matt Ox.
A survivor.
Oh, a survivor. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yes. Absolutely. Matt Ox first debuted when he was like 13, put out, I thought, some really good songs, but He was 13. I don't know. Yeah. Anything could have happened. He could be getting an MBA now, for all I know. I have no idea.
He's actually signing all of these new artists.
He should be. Honestly, he should be. So Matt,
he's in a suit somewhere.
Good. Yeah. We all should be in a suit somewhere, respectfully.
But he's not.
No. Instead, his hair has gone crazy, and he is debuting flow patterns and repetitive rap styles that I found really, really affecting. This On the Radar freestyle is, like, to me, it's one of the best On the Radar freestyles. Certainly recently, it's one of the best ones. It's not combination, but, like, what is, really? So let's play a little bit of this Matt Ox, like, the middle part of this Matt Ox On the Radar freestyle. And just like
hang on tight.
Yeah, like pretend you're on a roller coaster. Just like, because that's what's about to happen.
From the future to the past.
Woo!
Sheer Mag. Philly band.
Great.
Part of the package we mentioned
before. I was just going to say, actually, not totally new,
but coming back.
Yeah.
One of the great front people in, certainly in rock music.
Yeah.
Maybe in all music, in Tina Halliday.
So good.
She's a force.
Yeah.
An incredible voice. This band does a style of rock that I'm not that into. There's guitar solos in this.
Yeah.
This is like Cheap Trick, basically, like 70s, 80s rock. The only Cheap Trick I like is in Over the Edge, the greatest film of all time. You familiar?
No.
Young Matt Dillon?
No.
Kurt Cobain's favorite movie?
No.
No? All right, we'll watch it. We'll do movie clubs.
Okay, good.
Cheap Trick does the whole soundtrack. But they're doing a retro thing in a way that sounds fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that has to do with the vocals, the lyrics. They haven't been on an album in a while. Playing Favorites comes out in March, I think March 1st. And it's on Third Man Records.
Oh.
They're on Third Man now, which fits.
Yeah, it's about right.
Yeah, it's about right. I think this project started as they put out a 4-song EP with some of these songs last year, sort of disco-y. And then they have since expanded it into a full album. But I'm just excited this band's back. I'll go see them live this year if I can. This is a cool project, and it feels like it's part of the loose scene we were talking about.
Yeah. But
they really do their own thing. Nobody
sounds
like this.
Yeah, and also, even at that time, I think that was one of maybe two bands in that package that felt, not that we shoehorn folks in, but it felt like they were doing something spiritually a little bit different than the other. It wasn't like exactly as lo-fi. Sheer Mag always had more ambition in scale than some of those other artists.
But still a DIY.
Yeah. The affect was DIY, but the musical ambition was different.
And coming out of Philly, where a lot of these bands were popping at the time. But they haven't put out a record since A Distant Call in 2019. So good to have them back. So let's listen to the title track, Playing Favorites, and the first track on this album.
On this new album. All right, a couple of softer things than Sheer Mag coming from two different worlds. Infinity Song, who I sort of stumbled on Twitter.
Weird place to find music.
On X. Yeah, weird place to find music.
For you, especially.
Absolutely. It was very odd. I saw a video. I thought the video was like a snippet of a vocal performance. And I was like, what is this? And I kind of like reverse engineered. Found their Instagram, found their songs. So Infinity Song is a 4-piece, I believe, sibling vocal outfit, doing heavily harmonized folk soul, maybe. Maybe it's almost like slowcore in a way. It doesn't feel connected to like any real ongoing scenes. It feels very isolated. It feels homeschooled in a way. There's a few songs that came out.
Is that like Haim?
I was thinking about Haim. What happened to Haim? I was thinking about Haim the other day.
Too busy being in Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah, yeah, and too busy being on red carpets. But anyway, what happened to Haim? Anyway, the new Haim, there was like a quasi hit that I stumbled onto after the fact called Hater's Anthem, about how good it feels to be a hater, but like in a mean way about haters, like hating on haters. Mm. A little is like maybe a touch cutesy, like smart, a touch cutesy. But some of the other songs, and I think the clips that are on their Instagram are really what were selling the group to me. So let's play the Instagram clip of a song called Metamorphosis. Great harmonies.
I don't say my opinions too loud. I'm always second guessing. I can't take many chances. I just stick to what I'm best at. My personality is too bad.
And the other soft singing, I want to talk just for a minute about Javi. Javi is someone who I learned about through the Augusto Papa podcast, which I wrote about a few months ago. It's a podcast dedicated to sort of like the next generation of Corridos Tumbados stars, rising young Mexican and Mexican-American singers. Javi is a sort of like acoustic singer-songwriter who's being thrust into slightly more glamorous songs. Had like one or two really, really, really big YouTube hits in the last few months, or maybe in the last like few weeks even. At the core seems to just kind of be like, I'm a sensitive singer songwriter, but the songs that are starting to blow up seem to be like pumped full of air and give it a lot of luster. So he's had two big ones in the last few weeks. The one that I gravitated to the most is called Sin Pagar Renta.
I got a little whiplash pick.
Yeah,
for you.
This is weird. This is actually more whiplashy episode than I was expecting. But go ahead.
I like it.
No, this is, I mean, this is just like our normal, this is like a normal phone call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
41.
Oh, yeah.
41 is
Bent.
Three Brooklyn Drill rappers.
Yeah.
That's Kyle Rich, Jen Carter, and Tata.
Yep.
41 put out a mixtape, 41 World, which they very conveniently subtitled Not the Album. November.
We get it. No one wants to put out an album.
But a mixtape titled Not the Album means there's an album coming.
It doesn't actually. It actually doesn't mean that.
Not the album. It's not an album. It's not the album.
I'm just saying true rhetoricians might disagree with you. True grammarians might disagree with you.
Fine. 41, bit of a dark backstory.
Yeah.
Had a moment with the Naughty Bop. That's
about the murder of Didi Osama's brother.
Yes. And that's a Brooklyn drill thing you can go deep on if you want to search on YouTube, or there's a New Yorker piece by Jody Rosen that gets into it. It's like a lot of this music clouded by real life overlap.
Yeah.
But this group is loud, brash, fun.
It's, and also I think rebranding a little bit. Like the big hit from last year is Bent. There was a Bent promo. Did you get the Bent promo kit with like the shot glass or like the whiskey tumbler glass or something?
I did not.
Somewhere in my house, there's like a 41 promo glass or something for Bent.
There was Deddy with 5EO.
Yeah.
And then there was probably my most played song of last year, at least in the back half.
Yeah.
Run That.
Yeah.
With the Annie Up flip. Making MOP song like
even somehow more, yeah,
even like, more amped.
The most antic rap song in history, and just being like 5X
it. Let's just listen to it. Like, I don't have any words to describe it, but it's adrenaline. It's like, it's gets you going.
Yeah.
This is a Run That. We'll see what happens with 41 next.
Dumbbells. Said these bitches, they my sons, like long rap, can't be
Do you think that they have mainstream rap legs, like Rap Caviar legs?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do. And I think because
it's interesting that it's a group. It's also just not that many groups right now.
Yeah. Like I hope that they can stick to, you know, the history of groups. It's not great in history. But yeah, I think that this is a New York drill sound. This is the first time I felt like, you know, in a while that something in the New York drill
not has Ice
legs.
Spice.
Yeah. Post Pop Smoke, post Ice Spice. Yeah. Whatever happened with 5EO, there's something.
And again, Lil Mabu.
Yeah, and Lil Mabu doesn't count. So there's some real energy. There's some real energy here that I think can carry, but.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Okay. The last things I want to talk about, well, briefly, like last week, I know we said we were going to talk more about Young Miko, but I feel like we kind of covered it. But Young Miko is definitely someone who I think is going to have a big 2024. Also, Justin Martin, who we talked about last week, I think is going to have a big and promising year. I kind of want to go out with some country,
okay,
post-country or country adjacent.
We're going to exhale after Run That.
Yeah, it's a deep sigh. I wrote a thing at the end of last year kind of about in the wake of the Aldean song and the kind of misunderstandings about the Oliver Anthony record. People were like, country's about to get real political again. It's about to get, you know, like conservative and Toby Keith-ish. And that is just literally not at all what is happening in mainstream Nashville. It's also not happening in this sort of segment of country music that's not country music, which is basically like Zach Bryan and then everybody who got signed because people think they might be the next Zach Bryan. And that's sort of how I close the piece, which is that's actually, if we're going to look back on 2023 and what it did for country music writ large a couple of years from now, I think what we're going to see is that the type of folks who are getting signed to major labels and who are going to get some level of support are going to be much more in the like ragged,
rustic.
Yeah, like ragged, like hanging out at a bar in like a 2000 person town with those hats. Does anybody know what the name of these hats is with the rope across? Is there a name?
I would know,
right? I would know.
Yeah.
I don't know the name. If there's a name, someone tell me. But
in the comments.
Yeah, please. But like those hats, like every micro generation of male country stars has a sartorial twist. You had the bros with like the tight shirts and like the kind of like affliction or post-affliction jeans. Then you had the gentleman and you have the move from like cowboy hats to like true ball caps, like actual like Chase Rice, like supporting a team type ball cap. Whatever this is like, yeah, I'm on the farm, but also like my hat's pretty crispy. There's like I'm aware, like, you know, like my friends, like I went to a state college,
right?
You know, like I hang out at a bar in a city and also at a bar in a small town. That's the energy. And there are two people in that microbiome that really stood out to me, and that's Dylan Gossett and Sam Barber. I don't know loads about them background-wise, but their videos very much remind me of something that I know you and I have spoken about a lot, which are rap freestyle videos in the middle of a street with like a microphone dangling down from the sky out of nowhere.
This is the country version of that?
This is the country version of that. And to some degree, the Oliver Anthony version is like text of this.
Right.
I'm pretty sure the Dylan Gossett video that I saw that I really liked actually came out before. It makes me want to do like a micro history of like who started filming country.
Just a guy with his tent and his pickup and his dogs.
Yeah, just like in the field.
Woods.
Yeah, like with seven trees and grass. Yeah, like so like those videos, it's kind of like, hey, what if street but freestyle? And here it's what if woods but sing? That's what's happening. Let's start with Sam Barber, who very much, I think, is probably grateful for the rise of Zach Bryan because Sam Barber also wants to like scratchy howl at you. So this is Straight and Narrow, Live in the Woods.
Life can get hard sometimes, I know. You gotta get up and walk straight and narrow. When they're chasing you down with an old bloodhound and you're running through the fields for your life, gotta get up, son, I know the gunning for you.
And then with Dylan Gossett to me is the one with like the bigger mainstream, quote unquote mainstream crossover potential. Cole is his big record.
It's C-O-A-L.
C-O-A-L.
It's not about Jermaine.
No. That'd be hilarious. If
let Cole down.
Right. Let Cole down. Or if J. Cole gets on this. It has a really, really good hook, which is, if pressure makes diamonds, how the hell am I still Cole?
Oh, good.
Yeah. Really good line. If this song was sung by a more famous person, I think this would be like a legitimate country hit. But I'm interested because I think overall that rusticity, that kind of earthiness, and Zach Bryan is someone who's basically like, I'm not a country singer, but country radio to some degree plays him. Nashville's like trying to reckon with like how big Zach Bryan is. I do feel on some level they're going to let
they're just going to pick their own.
Yeah, they're going to pick their own. They're going to amplify those people and put them in competition with him, knowingly or otherwise. But I think on a pure level, some of the like crisper, like clean cut guys, like the post Brett Eldridge, post Billy Currington's, whatever, like that stuff, I think is just, it's gone. I think it's not going to be here in 2 years. And I think we're going to have a lot of guys like this. So let's listen to Dylan Gossett, Cole, Live in the Woods.
This game of life plays heavy on my heart, and love is tough, but loneliness is twice as hard. I'll carry that belt everywhere I go, and they say pressure makes diamonds. How the hell am I still cold?
I say it's snack time.
Yeah, although I don't know if this qualifies.
As a snack?
It's a treat?
So I bought these at a supermarket upstate that had a really extensive candy selection of all kinds, like from all over the world. And this is a kind of candy or whatever this is I do not want.
Yeah.
Like I looked at it and I said, even. That's gross. That's disgusting. I don't want it.
I got to try it.
I have to I feel like we have to have it.
That's what this segment is for.
Yes, that is literally what this segment is for. So what exactly? Share with the people.
These are called Face Twisters Sour Slime Double Pack.
This store had a lot of sour things and it had a lot of slime things.
So this comes in a double pack that was connected but not perforated, which means they want a child to eat both of these. They're 55 calories each, so, and they seem to be just liquid gel.
Can I ask this as a sidebar? Okay, baby food, you're aware they have those like pouches of baby food?
Yeah.
You're up on that.
Yeah.
What's your take on adults having that?
Disgusting.
You think so?
Disgusting.
What if it's just like a midday snack?
Like the actual baby food one, or you want adult food in like a pouch?
No, the actual baby, like the one where you go to the baby section in the supermarket. It's like kale and apples and carrots and
just
squash.
Just like sucking one down.
$2.99. Just be like
it's a Soylent?
Yeah. Just like I was sitting here, I'm typing, I'm listening to Infinity Song banging away. And I'm just like, instead of a cookie, just what do you make of that?
That's a no for me.
It's a no?
Yeah.
But I look at these and I say, is there not some connection between that tendency and whatever this is?
Except that these are also for babies. So we split this double pack in half.
We cut them into two.
So we've got a strawberry.
We're not swapping. I would do it. For the record, I would do it.
Okay.
That's jokes.
I would do it, but it's unnecessary because we got a double pack. So we cut it in half. We have a green apple and we have a strawberry. So we're gonna twist the top off.
Also, can we just talk about feel for a second?
Yeah, it's gel. It's like,
oh, it's gel. This is like a definitely like if you are listening to this in an audio platform, I wish there was a way. We can't even ASMR this because it's so mushy.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't make noise.
Here's what you're gonna do. You're gonna go to the supermarket, go to the baby aisle, get one of those pouches and feel it, and then you'll know what we're doing.
Yeah. I twisted my top off.
Wait, is it easy twist? Oh my God.
It's like super glue. Top makes it seem like super
glue. That's true. Yeah.
I do think we should toast. I think we should cheers these packets. Are you going to do the whole packet like a Jell-O shot? I know you've never done a Jell-O shot, but
how twisty is my face going to get?
Are you going to take a taste? Are you going to take it all?
I'll take it to that.
All right.
Here to you. And to all the pouch-based food in your future.
Oh, I got the plastic ring. Careful with the plastic ring.
It is.
I like the sour. Oh, man. The texture is...
It's so ornery.
Man. First of all, 10 for texture.
You like that?
No, I don't like it. I'm just saying, like, the food scientists...
No, that's a fail.
No,
it should be smoother.
No, but that's the thing. It's weird. It's meant to be weird.
It's really weird.
You would have fun with this on the playground with your friends.
Unfortunately, we're grown men at work.
Some would say.
I do not like this. This is not food.
It's not.
Is it music,
it's
though?
Not food.
Is it music?
No. This is a 2.
It's a 1.
Yeah.
It's a 1 out of 10.
It's a 2 because I do think that
it's a novelty item.
I will never again consume something with this specific texture. So whoever, like, they put, you know, they put their whole whatever in this, that's strong. But
it tastes like cake icing.
Oh, that's generous.
Like the weight of it is like cake icing, but then it has a sour aftertaste. It is so bad. So bad.
I really, really don't like it.
No.
That's our show. Tough way to close. A show about ambition and promise with a failure. But anyway, it happens. Every podcast ever at nytimes.com/podcast. Podcast Deluxe. That's us with the face twisters. YouTube.com/podcast, where you should subscribe and you should like. Email us, podcast@nytimes.com. Get in the Discord, get in the Facebook group. tinyurl.com/podcast Discord or podcast Facebook. Get the stickers, the shirts, and... maybe the mugs at some point. It's the popcast.myshopify.com. In the room today, our producers are Sawyer Roque and Pat Gunther. Thank you to them. Jamie Heffitz is not here today, but also thank you to Jamie, our editor. Thank you also. Special thanks, Pedro Rosado, Karen Gans, Noel Kalogli, Leslie Davis. We'll see you next week.